about in the beginning is about whatever resources the other person's putting up. I put up this program and staff and had an incredible product developed within a short amount of time, but what he was hoping for, I think, was really unrealistic, and it ended up being a very bad situation where he was, you know, accusing me of not putting enough time and effort into this, and that really wasn't the case. It was a case of the time and effort that I had allotted to this just wasn't satisfactory to him.
Right.
And I ended up selling my interest in the business to him and letting him take it over.
Right. So does it take a lot of time on an average joint venture then that you're working with? Is it a very time consuming proposition?
It shouldn't be. It all depends on the joint venture. If it's a case of me, having a sales letter that's working really well, and I like to test that myself before I position it to joint venture partners. Mm-hmm. If I have a sales letter working really well, and all I have to do is, set up a deal with somebody that I know already and give them copy that's proven to sell,
or
a lot of times my partners are sophisticated enough and good enough copywriters, they'll write copy themselves, which I love.
Right.
That's a joint venture that might take me an hour or two to do.
Okay.
But whatever, when I'm involved in a joint venture where it's like we've set up an entire business structure, it could take, it could be spending tons of time on it. The joint venture that I have with Jay Abraham right now, where we're setting up a 6-month conference call training people on joint ventures, I spend a lot of time brainstorming with Jay and his team and talking to joint venture partners. We have a whole staff of telephone salespeople that call up our customers or potential customers and convince them why they should want to be a part of this. So that takes a lot of time. It does take a lot of effort. It all depends on the level you're at with joint ventures. But it's not, Jay said this the other day, and I found it really powerful. It's not get rich quick, but you might end up getting rich quick from joint ventures.
Right, yeah. It might happen by accident.
Exactly. It's not, this pie in the sky, make $1 million overnight.
Yep.
There's a lot of people screaming that at the top of their lungs on the internet. It's a great way to get very wealthy. It's probably, in my opinion, it's the best way because it's you're guaranteed. Tell me another marketing technique where you're guaranteed you only pay for results.
Right, yeah.
And you might say, pay-per-click advertising. Okay, if the result you want is for someone to click on your website, that's fantastic. But I want a sale.
Exactly. So how much then now, talking about results, how much are you making from joint ventures then?
Joint ventures produce 100% of my profits, my yearly income.
So you do, that's all you do is just joint ventures?
That's it. Well, actually, let me back up a little bit. When I said I do sometimes pay to advertise an untested product before I'll bring it to joint venture partners. But I really keep the budget to a minimum, less than $1,000.
So what would you do then? You would write a sales letter and then buy some solo ads and e-zines?
In the past when that would work, I would do that. And as you build up your own list, that's a great way to test something also because they'll tell you, this is great or this sucks, and they tell you that by buying.
Right,
or
yeah.
Or through feedback. But yeah, I'll buy an ad in an e-zine or I'll pay to run an ad in the magazine. Nothing, no full-page $35,000 ad.
Right,
but
yeah.
A $500 quarter-page ad in a targeted magazine?
Yep.
Sure, I'll do that. Maybe pay to get some targeted banner ads or Google AdWords, that sort of thing, to see if it's working. But again, there's other people far more qualified to talk about that sort of stuff because that's not my forte.
Sure, yeah.
But I'll test if it's working, if it's going out to a targeted audience and it's working, sure, I'll bring it to my JV partners.
Beautiful. So do you have a formula that you have then right from the beginning to find a potential JV partner, how you would approach them? And kind of get the deal done. How would you go about that?
Well, I call it my JV temperature gauge, and I developed this through learning about the merchant account company being more successful than working with people that I really barely knew. So my formula is to work with people that I have an existing relationship with.
Yeah.
And what I do is I'll contact them first before I go after anyone who I don't have an existing relationship with. That way they know me. They know I have quality products and services. I'll always let them review it before they send it out. Even if they know me already, I'll let them review it.
Uh-huh.
And I like to really talk to them on the phone, pick up the phone, call them, tell them what's going on. So it's not just, hey, I've got this great new product, I sent you in an email, and even good friends of mine will ignore those from me. So,
yeah.
And I can't blame them because I do the same to them. If we know each other and we're used to talking on the phone, why in God's name would I do that?
Yeah.
So the strategy really is to work with people who I have an existing relationship with first.
Uh-huh.
And if it's not right for them, I'll ask for a referral.
Right.
I'll ask them to refer me to people that they know who it would be right for. And, you know, it will snowball from there. And finally, my least targeted person to work for is somebody that I don't know. There are people that I would love to do joint ventures with. And sometime down the road, I will get to meet them. For instance, it took me many years to get to work with Jay.
Yeah.
I didn't sit there and call his office every day like a stalker and harass him.
Yeah.
But there were several times that I attempted to have a joint venture over the past few years, and it just, you know, it wasn't the right thing.
Right.
But the referral from this major publishing company, plus the fact that I had done the favor for them a couple of years ago, it really helped.
Beautiful.
It helped quite a bit. So
it's, again, it's back to, you know, what you give is what you get.
Yeah, I would say that's really a fair assessment. And it also, I can't stress this enough. If you don't know somebody, mm-hmm. you're never going to get to work with them. But if somebody that they know, if you get to meet them and you work your way in through the referral angle as well, referrals and word of mouth are very, very powerful. And getting an introduction. One thing that I do now is I broker joint venture deals for companies looking for financing, okay,
right.
for venture capital and investments and angel investment. I don't know a lot of, or when I started, I didn't know a lot of investors. So what I did was, as I mentioned in the beginning, my father has a lot of contacts in the capital business, in the commercial finance business, and I asked him to make some introductions for me, and he did. And I'm not embarrassed of that, because to me, without the referral, I would never work. I would just be another person calling them up, chasing after their money.
Right. Yeah.
And instead, now I have some credibility, and borrowed credibility is better than none.
Yeah, that's for sure. So if you were somebody who did not have the contacts, then you didn't have a father who knew the contacts that you needed, or you didn't have somebody who could refer you. Basically, kind of your first JV, and you don't have any contacts, but you have a good idea. You've done your research and you found some potentials. How do you approach this person without looking like just another guy off the street?
Well, getting to a cold person is very difficult, but it's not impossible.
Uh-huh.
The first thing that I would do is try to get a hold of them on the phone, or if at all possible, to have a face-to-face meeting. And the way you do that is by trying, if they're big enough, they're going to have a gatekeeper, somebody who protects and insulates them from being contacted by every single person under the sun.
Yep.
So, the first things you have to learn is how to get past that gatekeeper. And some of the techniques that I teach people is, number one, be nice.
Yeah.
explain who you are. You're not so important that you shouldn't treat anybody that they're not important. Explain who you are and when you call and leave a message, let them know what it's about. Because if you don't, on the other end of the phone, they could be saying, oh, there's some idiot on the phone for you again, and he won't leave any information with me, and I think he's trying to sell you something. It's a waste of your time. You're never going to get to that person. But if you talk to the gatekeeper and you find out a little, there's a lot of techniques you can use. You could find out a little bit about the person, what their interests are. A young fellow named Jason Cox, who brokered joint venture deals for me that made a lot of money for all the parties involved, including Jason, what he would do is he would package my product and put it in a FedEx box and send it off to interested joint venture parties that we didn't know. And it got a lot of interest. We had some joint venture deals that brought in $20,000 and $12,000 from his efforts.
Is that for the
for our course, JV Secrets Revealed?
Beautiful.
He would, we were selling it primarily as an ebook, and he decided to take a different approach and print it out and shove it in a box with FedEx and write a sales letter. That's another thing. But you write copy. When you're writing to a joint venture partner, they're the same as any other human being. There's a reason that copywriters make so much money, and there's a reason that everyone says that copywriting works. It does. We're all emotion driven. and good copy will spark someone to act, whatever that act might be. You might think copywriting is only trying to get someone to buy something, but it could be to get someone to become your partner.
Right.
So that's one of the ways I would suggest that people try to go after somebody if they don't know them. And the other thing is, you have to be trained. I don't think that people could do this on their own. There is a certain level of training that comes into this a bit, and then there's a certain desire and an element of trial and error.
Uh-huh.
You're going to fail. You're bound to fail at least once or twice. I still fail to this day, and people don't do joint ventures with me. My answer to that is next. But if you don't have those elements of a passion and desire, number one, and number two, the ability to accept failure, and number three, some training and some mentoring, I think you're really you're in for a problem.
Yeah, a bit of a rough ride.
Yeah.
Well, do you have a laundry list that you look at and think, okay, you know, when I'm looking for a potential JV, joint venture arrangement, here's the type of things that I'm going to look for, and here's the type of things I want to avoid?
Well, yeah, I can summarize that pretty quickly by giving you an example. I touched on this a little earlier. I had a pretty good partner and friend who referred someone to me to do a joint venture, and he vouched for this person, which is important because I didn't know him from a hole in the wall.
Right.
And I read this guy's product, which was interesting. It was about how to sell big ticket retail items to a list of basically wealthy people. And so I liked the concept, and I thought it could really work for some of the people that are interested in brokering joint venture deals.
Uh-huh.
And that's where you match up a list owner with a product seller and vice versa.
And this is online or offline?
The product or the concept of brokering?
Yeah, I'm thinking about the product, but actually, yeah, both is actually important.
Well, brokering could work online, offline. The product, I think he was really referring to offline marketing.
Right, okay.
But certainly, if you have a list of rich people with email addresses, sure,
exactly.
it could work.
You can market an offline product online, no problem at all.
Absolutely. So I introduced this product to my list, and it did fairly well, and it produced, I think $6,000 in sales total,
uh-huh.
which wasn't bad, but it was a nice bit of money, and I never got paid.
Ooh.
It took a while, and it's embarrassing to have to chase down money, but it was, number one, my reputation. I introduced this person to my list, and I figured if he had done this to the partner, what might he possibly do to my list? And unfortunately, my fears were realized when recently I got a couple of emails from people who said they've lost even more money to him, and he sold them other products and hasn't delivered. So my laundry list begins with working only with people I have a relationship with,
yeah.
or people who can give me references to others they've worked with. That's the way it goes. Again, I've worked with some new people who didn't have the credibility or don't have the background. I take a chance and I go on my intuition with that.
Uh-huh.
But if you're asking me to endorse something to my list,
yeah.
and it's something that you've created without my help or without my assistance, then yes, I'm going to need references, and we're going to need to talk and get to know you a little bit before I do anything.
So it's really back to the very first thing you said is build that relationship.
Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it's really important that without that relationship, you're probably not going to be able to work with me, at least. I don't know, someone else might feel differently, but it's critical, because the only thing you have in life is your credibility, is your name and your reputation. Luckily, my list knows that I'm not responsible. The ones I've spoken to have said, I know that you're not to blame for this, but I just wanted to let you know that you did endorse this guy. They'll remind you. They'll let you know. And I feel very lucky and gratified that they know that they don't blame me for what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm tempted. This has been going on for about 7 months now, and I'm tempted to go to the police about this guy at this point. Not because of my reputation, but because he owes me money. He owes my list members money. He's not delivering, so he's really a bad seed.
Yeah.
And so it's critical that I work with people that I know are not going to risk or jeopardize any of those things.
So have you gone back to the person who referred him then? And
yes, we've discussed this already, and he also lost out, but not as big.
Right.
So but he's apologized. He said, it's something that he didn't expect, and he thought the same as I thought. The you know, it's one of the cases where this guy's very responsive when it's the beginning, and
yeah,
he's very responsive during the venture, but when all is said and done and the money's made, you're not getting it. So in the future, would I try something like that? Only in a very structured way where I took the money and sent it on.
Yeah, where you control the funds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's bad, but listen, this is business, and this is what it gets down to. I number one, I could have sent out a different mailing that day. Number two, I didn't need to jeopardize my credibility or my reputation with my list, which is critical. That involves me putting food on the table and continuing to live and survive and thrive. So it's critical, and so I want people to get that when you start this, no matter what angle or what part of joint ventures you apply, whether you broker deals for other people, whether you're using them to build your own business, whether you have a list and you're using that as an asset and taking a toll every time somebody wants to pass through your list, your credibility is really critical. So work with people that have proven themselves to you in the past, or if you want to give somebody a chance, then pretty much ask to control a lot of the joint venture.
Right. So how much time do you actually spend going out? I mean, you don't go out and find new joint venture partners, but how much time do you spend talking to the people that you have as contacts already and working, putting together the joint ventures?
It all depends on what's going on at the moment. Sometimes we'll talk, you know, once a week, but you know, sometimes we're not even talking about business.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes not necessarily business as it relates to a particular ongoing joint venture.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we'll go for months. It depends on the relationship I have with someone. We'll go for months without talking, and then you know, one day I'll pick up the phone and say, "Hey, how you doing? How's everything going?" And I am genuinely concerned. It's not just calling them so that I can, you know, set up a JV deal,
right?
Because that's really the meaning of a relationship. But it's a business relationship, so they know what's gonna come, and they can feel free to contact me also and say, "Hey, I've got this new product. Will it work for you?" One of the biggest challenges that I find is that people want to do joint ventures, or I want to do a joint venture, and the people I know are so busy that I just can't. You know, I can't convince them to do it at
right.
that point. Or somebody feels the same way about me. This publishing company, they really want me to promote something of theirs right now, and I feel obligated to help them out, and I like it, but I'm kind of committed right now to a joint venture, the joint venture I'm doing with Jay Abraham, so
right.
It's difficult for me to kind of veer my list off from what I've been sending to them recently.
So it's really difficult to be able to do two joint ventures at the same time then?
If you're putting all your efforts into it, it's really tough, yeah. It depends. Like if you have segmented lists, if I had different niches, then it would be no problem. If it was if I focused on a niche for golf, as an example, or if I focused on a niche for interior design, well, those are two completely different things, and I could set up joint ventures and have them going for the different niches. But if I'm hitting the same list, and I don't want to confuse the issue.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. So take us kind of on a tour then, and a typical day in the life of Mark Goldman. What happens?
A day in the life of Mark Goldman.
Yeah.
This is very exciting. I'm sure that people are chomping at the bit to hear about this.
I am.
Okay. Let's see. I'll wake up, depending on when I went to sleep the night before, I'll wake up pretty much when I want, usually no later than 10:30 or something, but I will, you know, get up at some point in the morning and check out the business, see how that's going. Usually one of the problems with business that when you conduct a lot of it on the phone is the phone never stops ringing.
Right.
So the phone will usually start ringing around 10, 11 o'clock, and it'll be different partners and various ventures or customers. I like to give priority status to some customers who you know, so that they know they can call in, and they have my private line and they can call in. So the phone will ring, and then I like to my wife and I like to go and work out during the day.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes it doesn't work out. Last night I was so busy that we didn't get to work out till 11 o'clock at night.
Wow.
But I do try to fit that into the day. We have an assistant that answers most of our email and support requests and that sort of thing, and she will forward us stuff throughout the day that we need to address or tell her how to address, and so I have to focus on that, and then, you know, monitoring ongoing campaigns, seeing how they're doing. If something's really hot right now, that I'm focused on, chances are it will take up a lot of my day. I guess working on existing joint venture deals, planning out new deals, and then trying to balance that in somewhat of a healthy life. And as well, I don't want it to sound like all I do is joint ventures. My, you know, our business with the software, our Ultimate Marketers Resource, is still a viable and extremely crucial part of our business. It's our flagship product, and I do talk to my development and technical guys quite a bit throughout the day. So that's a Mark Goldman day in a nutshell. It may not seem like the most exciting life. Sometimes I stop working at 6-7 o'clock. Sometimes I work for 2 hours. Sometimes I work for 14 hours, and it's never one thing. It's never really stable.
But that's beautiful. It gives a little spice to life.
Yeah, it does. And another thing, I wouldn't trade this because I know the alternative. I've worked in the corporate world in the computer field, and I've been paged at 3 o'clock in the morning to go in and work on computers. I've been the rebellious, I want to work in a liberal arts profession type, yeah. and realize that you really can't make enough to live the kind of life that you might want. And this life, while you sometimes have to be able, you have to sacrifice a little bit by, like, let's say if you go on vacation, you have your laptop with you,
yeah.
or your cell phone. But I still get to go pretty much where I want. I've been able to move to Florida, decide I didn't like it, move back to New York, go for vacations in the Caribbean at our house in the Caribbean in the winters because I hate the cold weather. So it does afford you a nice life.
That's beautiful. Do you have any additional helpful comments that you can pass on just before we wrap it up?
I just want people to know that I do firmly believe in focusing on one marketing technique. I'm not telling you to make it joint ventures because it may not be right for you. Some people, make a fortune on pay-per-click search engines. Some people make a fortune just working all day to optimize their website to get it listed high in the search engine. Some people make a fortune from sending out press releases. Whatever you decide, and my topic obviously is joint ventures. That's my expertise. Whatever you decide to do, put all your efforts there and, minimize, keep it really, really minimal, anything that you dabble outside of that. And if you're doing spray and pray marketing or you're focusing on one technique that isn't producing the results, you have to think about, is it worth it? Are you going to continue and let it produce those minimal results, or are you going to use something, some technique, some skill that you acquire that will really bring in the kind of money that you're looking for that will help you live the lifestyle you desire, whatever that may be, an extra $1,000 a week or an extra $100,000 a month, whatever it might be. For me, it's joint ventures, and I know for lots of people, for Jay Abraham, the guy has made billions of dollars for his clients just by using joint ventures, and to me, that's the ultimate testament, the ultimate testimonial. So for me, it works. For guys like Jay Abraham, it works. For many people, but a lot of people don't realize Donald Trump, Bill Gates, Ross Perot, IBM, companies like that, joint ventures. Sony and Ericsson, joint ventures. Strategic partnerships and joint ventures are the ultimate way to build a business and the ultimate way to succeed. Even you don't even have to have your own business. Now you could sit there and make money putting together deals, joint venture deals for others. So I truly I'm excited about it and passionate about it, as you could tell, and I just I think others could be too.
That's beautiful. Thanks very much for your time, Mark.
You're welcome, Terry.
You've been listening to Mark Goldman from goldbar.net and Terry Telford from thebusinessprofessional.com. Thanks very much for your time.